The Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio, where you listen with your ears and not your mouth.
Good evening and welcome to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio. We are with you all the way up till 7 o'clock tonight, and we are going to be playing Audience with the Ghost Finder. It is a radio play we've produced. It is written by MJ Starling, otherwise known as Matt Boothman, who is in the studio with us on a weekly basis reviewing films. And this is the first of our Blackshaw-produced radio play that we have created. So enjoy.
Audience with the Ghost Finder by MJ Starling. Based on characters and ideas created by William Hope Hodgson and H.P. Lovecraft. The year 1912, 927 Cheyne Walk, Chelsea, London, the apartments of Thomas Carnacki, known in certain circles as the Ghost Finder.
Adon, Shaddai, Ilion, Tetragrammaton, Eloi, Eloim, Messias Yah, Hagios, Hothios, Colpritiana, Othina, Alta, Nestera, Fuaro, Menue, Alim, Jehovah,
Dodson.
Carnacki, you old fraud. I hope I'm not interrupting.
How did you get in?
Your front door wasn't latched.
And that lantern? Where did you get that lantern?
No, I borrowed it from the porter next door. None of your lights seem to be working.
No. I disconnected them all.
Look, if you're in the middle of
something, for heaven's sake, don't go anywhere. You're late enough as it is.
I came as soon as I got your card.
Which was when?
I must have been just gone five.
And what time is it now?
Not long after six. Your clock's not working either.
Can't trust them. I can't trust myself to read them right, rather. Here, you better put this round your neck.
Garlic? Whatever for?
Just a precaution. I doubt you're in any danger. Just put it on. There's a good chap. For my peace of mind.
Have I got the wrong end of the stick here, Carnacki? Only when I got your card, I...
Oh,
thought that...
you'd better stick some in your ears, too.
I beg your pardon?
Garlic. Just peel a bit and plug your ears with it. You oughtn't be able to hear it, but it's best to be safe.
I'm not sure about all this, Carnacki. When I got your card, I expected the usual thing, you know. Dinner, whiskey, a yarn round the fire.
You'll have whiskey and a yarn before the night's out. Come here, quick, help, before we lose the light.
Help of what?
Just stand just there. Hold this measuring tape. And douse that lantern.
But it's getting dark.
Stay still, would you?
Are you... You are, aren't you?
What?
Constructing a barrier, a defence against the supernatural.
Abnatural, but yes, perceptive of you.
What exactly are you expecting to happen here tonight?
If the barrier holds, nothing.
But it's possible it won't. What kind of apparition...
Listen, Dodson, you'll have the whole tale before long, but I can't be easy until we are both properly protected.
No, of course, I'm sorry. It's just unexpected, that's all.
Not to worry. Just sit tight. I'll not be much longer.
Perhaps I can help.
There's really no need.
We'll be protected that much sooner. It's a water circle you're constructing, isn't it?
You've been studying the Sigsand manuscript.
Arkwright got his hands on a copy at auction while you were busy with that woeful dagger case.
Did he now? And what has old Sigsand taught you about the water circle?
Well, not much we hadn't already picked up from one or other of your yarns. There was a passage about the different ways you can arrange the candles to produce different effects.
Do you recall a passage that begins... There must be no light come from within the barrier.
Yeah, that does sound... the lantern, yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Better give me your cigarettes as well.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, Carnacki, the Sigsand also says the barrier must be made around the ones who are to be protected.
That's right. So don't step outside the circle, or I shall have to start all over again.
But what about the others?
The others? Where?
Aren't they coming?
Oh, I see. No, we are a reduced party tonight, old chap.
You mean to say I'm the only one you sent for?
The circle's a little cosy for five, wouldn't you say?
But if you only had room for one and there's some abnatural danger abroad, then why did you...
Yes.
Well, why not Arkwright or Jessop? He's well salted in these affairs after the business aboard the Mort Zestus.
I think Arkwright and Jessop are occupied with that conundrum of the ambassadors, besides which...
What about Taylor?
Taylor? Taylor, I fancy, hasn't the stomach for this sort of thing.
And you fancy I do?
I know full well you've loads of pluck.
Really?
We're losing the light. Can you construct the inner star while I finish the circle?
You trust me to get it right?
Well, you'll be in as much trouble as me if you don't, so do you trust yourself too?
I think so.
Then so do I.
You'll look it over when I'm finished, though.
I can't promise anything.
Oh. Well then. All right. It'd be hard to credit you if it hadn't been proven so often, wouldn't it? I mean, that this works. That wax and chalk and water need only the application of geometry to form such an impediment to such immense powers.
I'm sure it seems like superstitious mumming to you, Dodson, but do allow me to concentrate while I'm about it.
Oh, come, there's no need to be like that. I don't think it's silly. I think it's a marvel.
Look, the light. The candles, Dodson. Quickly now. There. Oh, I think it's about time for that whiskey, don't you?
Let me.
Sorry I had to be short with you.
Not at all.
I've been in a towering funk since last night.
I'm sure it's not without reason.
Ordinarily, I'd agree with you. You remember in that grey dog case, what saved my life was what most men would simply call nerves?
Yes. You told us it's as well never to neglect that sort of feeling.
So I did.
Sometimes it's more than just cowardice, you said. Sometimes it's something warning you and fighting for you.
Yes. I may have to rethink that little pearl of wisdom before we all sit down to dinner again. If we ever all sit down to dinner again, I should say.
Come now, it's gloomy enough in here without that sort of talk.
Gloomy, you say?
Yes. Best keep our spirits up.
Of course. The sun's gone down, hasn't it?
Making it high time for a drink. Cheers.
Cheers.
Can I take this garlic out of my ear?
No. I am to be Odysseus tonight, Dodson. I have to endure the siren's song. You must be my helmsman, deaf to the seducer's voice, keeping us on the right course, eh? Do you understand?
To a degree.
You're sure?
It's like that luck ring case. You expect our judgment to be affected by something.
Yours no, but mine already is being. My senses are not my allies tonight. Do you see this charm I'm wearing? No matter how I try to justify the act, you must not let me take it off, and I will try. I may reason with you, or simply slip it off while your back is turned, or I may try to leave the circle. If I succeed, I shall be as good as dead. Or rather, perhaps I'll wish I were dead. Do you begin to grasp the gravity of your duty?
I suspect not. But I'll discharge it all the same.
Well, suppose the outcome's the most important thing. Now, how about a yarn?
Is this really the time?
Both of us must stay quite alert until dawn, and neither of us may smoke.
Well, if you put it like that.
I fancy I might see the thing clearer after I've told it all out straight. Pour us another drink, won't you? The tale that's led us both here began many generations hence, and to recount it all would counter my purpose of keeping us both awake. So I'll start from yesterday morning, the beginning of my own part in the affair. I'd not long been awake when I heard something trying to batter in my front door. I admitted my besieger and discovered her to be a gentlewoman in late middle age, whom I knew, by association, as one Mrs. Allenby.
Not by any chance a Mrs. Judith Allenby.
The same. You're acquainted?
I've been shooting with her husband, the Major, 2 or 3 times last season. A stern woman. Straight-backed. Lifts her chin like this in low company.
Stern? Perhaps. Though yesterday morning she was rather discomposed. She'd crossed town at great speed, having no purpose.
You'll forgive my appearance, Mr. Carnacki. I left home in some hurry.
You must have a seat, Mrs. Allenby. Some tea or a brandy?
No, thank you.
Well, how can I be of service?
You're the Thomas Carnacki that Captain Hiskins speaks so highly of.
I am a Thomas Carnacki, and I did help Captain Hiskins with a small matter last year.
The small matter of a family curse.
Actually, I believe it was a case of what I might term induced haunting.
Regardless, some unnatural creature threatened...
Abnatural.
Some unnatural creature threatened poor Mary Hiskins and her fiancé until banished by your intervention.
That's about the size of it. Mary Hiskins became Mrs. Beaumont not long after.
And the couple have had no trouble of the sort since?
If they have, they've not seen fit to involve me in it.
Proof enough for me. You must come with me at once, Mr. Carnacki. My cab is outside.
Why such a hurry?
My Florence heard the herald's cry last night.
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with the term.
You'll have the journey to learn until sunset to save her. Are you coming or not?
I'll come, of course, and I'll do everything I can to help. But you understand, I'm sure, that I cannot guarantee success. Can't even guarantee an explanation, let alone a solution.
Cavil in the cab if you must do it at all, Mr. Carnacki.
Yes, of course. We'd better have the cabbie load my instrument trunk.
Very well.
Yes, ma'am.
I am surprised a man in your line of business has never heard about our family. Did Captain Hisgins never mention us?
The captain and I aren't well acquainted. We talked about how best to safeguard his daughter, little else.
Good. Forge a similar relationship with me and we'll get on famously.
Let's start with this herald's cry.
The herald's cry comes to the eldest Allenby in each generation, usually not long after they come of age. It sounds like some monstrous bird, my Florence says, and deafening. It woke her around 2 o'clock this morning, but her sister sleeps in the same room and she didn't hear a thing.
And it's supposed to herald what?
Madness, Mr. Carnacki. Yeah. I wasn't born an Allenby, of course. But our families have always been close, and we were overwintering in Sussex together when Robert Allenby heard the cry. It was the night after his 16th birthday. I was 10, my sister Louisa 12 or 13, and we argued at his party which of us would marry him. But the next day at breakfast, he told us all the dining room walls were turning to fog, and he could see bright lights beyond. By dinner, he couldn't see the house at all, nor any of the people in it. It was like we'd all become ghosts, or he had. He kept whispering to himself about impossible peaks and drifting specks as bright as stars. He wept constantly, but sometimes it didn't seem like sorrow. The next morning, Robert was a rag doll. He resides in Bethlehem even now.
But he lives. It wasn't fatal.
No, nothing so merciful.
And before Robert?
The same story. The firstborn of every generation as far back as anyone can recall.
Then if you were aware of all this, why did you still marry into the Allenby family?
Hector and I were a good match.
But the two of you suspected what might be in store for any children.
Are you married, Mr. Carnacki? Do you have children of your own?
Ha! No, I'm afraid not.
Well, then I can't expect you to understand.
But you do credit this story of the Herald's Cry. You believe there's some truth in it.
I told you. I saw what it did to Robert.
What I mean is, do you believe the phenomenon is abnatural in origin?
Well, of course it's the work of devils, if that's what you mean. I thought this was your area of expertise, Mr. Carnacki.
It is, and I've witnessed too many true manifestations to doubt that they can and do occur. But I make it a point of principle to view all reported hauntings as unproven until I've made examinations. And I must tell you that 99 cases in 100 prove to have nothing abnormal in them.
There is nothing normal about what's in store for my daughter, Mr. Carnacki.
I will, of course, bear your theory in mind, but you must allow me to investigate and form my own.
I shall allow you whatever's in my Florence's best interests and not an inch more. I must try to get word to my husband. I'm putting my life in your hands, Mr. Carnacki.
With that, she abandoned me to the ministrations of the butler, Tilbury, who fairly frog-marched me to the library and presented me, finally, to Miss Florence Allenby. Did you ever meet the young lady?
No, but the Major spoke of her constantly. He said she takes after her mother.
Yes, that was my assessment too at first. Youth and beauty and good prospects, and a mother like Judith Allenby. Hardly surprising that she reacted as she did to the whole business.
Did Mother send for you? Are you a doctor?
No.
A psychiatrist, then?
No.
What then, a priest?
I'd style myself an investigator of sorts.
An investigator of sorts? I'm losing my mind, and the best Mother can come up with is an investigator of sorts. No, this won't do. Tilbury, where on earth have you gone?
I am, I should say, an investigator of what I might term inexplicable things. Like this cry that you heard last night.
Oh, a charlatan! I'd have preferred a priest. Where did Mother even find you?
A mutual friend. And I've been called worse than a charlatan in my time. Still, I'd rather you called me Carnacki.
What's a Carnacki?
I am. Thomas Carnacki, at your service.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance, I'm sure, Mr. Carnacki. But my mother's wasted your time.
I don't think so. In fact, yours seems a rather interesting case.
I'm glad I intrigue you, but I need a doctor, not an investigator of inexplicable things.
Surely it would do no harm to see both.
But it wouldn't help me any more than seeing a doctor alone.
And if he were to find himself stumped, then might you concede that you're in the realm of the inexplicable?
I think then I might lose hope.
As long as there is one avenue left unexplored, there's hope.
Vain hope.
But hope nonetheless. Come now, shake off this funk. Let me try a little experiment or two. Nothing drastic, just to see how the land lies. And whatever I find, I give you my word, I'll march straight to your mother and tell her to send for a medical man without delay.
I'd be the one to decide whose advice to take on board, yours or the doctor's.
I rather expect our conclusions to complement one another than to conflict.
You can't believe in devils and in medicine, Mr. Carnacki.
I'll thank you not to dictate what I may and may not believe, Miss Allenby.
You're quite unfathomable.
Then it's just as well you are the one that we must try to fathom, not I, if I may.
As long as you keep your word.
Good! We'll start with questions and answers. This all started last night. You heard a sound, correct?
Yes. A cry like a crow's. It woke me up. I couldn't move. I felt like a field mouse, frozen, looking up at something horrible swooping down on me.
Where did the cry come from?
I don't know. From everywhere. Or maybe from inside my head. I thought straight away, this is it. I'm going mad, just like Uncle Robert. And I was right. Not long afterwards, I started seeing things.
What manner of things?
Nothing very distinct. Little sort of specks of bright-coloured light, drifting about in the distance. They were quite pale to begin with, like I'd just been looking into a flame. Now they're brighter than the daylight.
Drifting in the distance, you say? Beyond these walls?
Yes. Everything's... Well, you seem solid enough, but any farther away than that... It's like the world's disappearing around me and this other place is filling the gap. Do let's be brisk about this, Mr. Carnacki.
I can't see anything wrong with your physical eyes.
I'll trust my physical eyes to a physician, if you don't mind.
By all means. In the meantime, let's concentrate on your mental eye.
My what?
Could I ask you to close your eyes, your physical ones?
I don't want to.
Oh, this? It's only water.
It's not that.
I know. The things you can see beyond the walls, you can still see them when you close your eyes. Brighter and clearer.
How did you know?
It's only when the physical eyes are closed that the mental eye can fully open. Closing your eyes won't hasten their advance. It'll just let you get a better look at them. Beside which, it's broad daylight.
What does that signify?
There's no power in the unseen world that can manifest itself with any potency while the sun shines. And if anything's fool enough to try, this should ward it off without much trouble.
You said it was only water.
It is, chemically speaking.
And speaking otherwise?
What should that signify to a sceptic such as yourself?
You intend to daub me with it.
That I do. The short answer is, this is water from Bath Spa, which I'm sure you know is credited with certain healing properties. Now, I've found no evidence of that, but I have studied the particular mixture of minerals and things suspended in it, and found that the whole mixture reacts... rather curiously when exposed to certain frequencies of electromagnetic vibration.
That cannot be the short answer.
The upshot is you needn't be afraid of anything your mental eye can see. None of it can harm you.
I never said I was afraid.
No, Fear and I are old acquaintances. I recognise him in every one of his 1,001 guises. He'll be your ally, if you let him.
I'd rather have certainty on my side. But if you insist...
Thank you. This will feel a little cool.
Tingle.
Does it? How very illuminating. But take a good look around you. Remember, there's nothing to be afraid of. Do you see anything?
Not the house.
That's to be expected.
But I can see...
As much detail as you can muster now.
A void. No, a chasm. It's dark. I mean, no, there is light. Just a little. Or perhaps it's bright after all, only... I can't tell. It's an odd colour. I can't describe it. It's not a colour that really exists. It goes on and on.
And do you see anything else in this chasm? How far down can you see?
Down? No, I'm at the bottom. But there's nothing under me. I'm deep down. Floating. I can see the stars, but it's so far up. No, I can't look. I could never climb that high, not even in 100 years. But stuck down here, wrapped in that colour, I feel so small. And the things, those bright specks, they're more than that now. They're the centres of shapes? Creatures? Why couldn't I see them before?
Your physical sight was interfering. It's to be expected. Describe these creatures.
I can't.
Nonsense. You've been quite eloquent so far. What do they remind you of?
Remind me? Nothing I've ever seen. though there's one that looks like a feeling I had. Another with the shape of a sound I remember, I don't know from when. Some of them remind me of, what was it? But not the same. It's all spoiled. All the corners are inside out. I don't want to remember now. They're moving. Are you sure they can't see me?
It's just possible they are aware of you, but you're quite safe.
I don't feel it.
I know, it's unsettling.
Do you?
I've had my own experiences with esoteric sight.
I know they're not real. But my stupid heart. My mouth is dry. They don't even seem evil. Just all wrong. Fear of figments. It's not seemly.
You said the things were moving. With purpose or at random?
They move like motes on the wind. But they know where it's taking them. It's where they wanted to go all along. They're deceitful. How close they are, how small or vast, I can't tell. I feel like any moment one might swallow me that I thought was leagues away.
Then the stars you mentioned up above, they might not be as far away as you thought. Isn't that so?
I suppose that's right.
Would you look for me?
I don't think I want to.
Miss Allenby, if we can tempt your psychic body out of that abyss, we'll be well on the way to ridding you of this affliction. It's quite natural to be afraid, but I assure you, nothing you can see can harm you.
That's right. There's nothing to be afraid of.
That's not quite what I said.
They are closer. The stars. A great glittering crack in the ceiling. They're sinking into the dark, or...
Miss Allenby?
Hide me! Hide me before it sees!
Open your eyes, Miss Allenby. What is it? What did you see?
What did you do to me? You made it worse.
What is it?
You made it worse!
How do you feel? Any queer sensations?
It was just specks. Now it's shapes and stars and shadows. They're not going away. Karnacki, they're not going away. What did you do?
Hello, what's this on your wrist?
Are you listening? Let go of me!
The instant you felt threatened, you put this odd thing between yourself and the threat.
It's just some lucky charm Mother insists I wear.
No, you trust it, instinctively.
It was Uncle Robert's. Everyone gets given it. Everyone who's meant to be cursed. It's supposed to protect me from whatever's coming to get me.
And what is coming to get you?
Nothing's coming to get me. I'm not cursed. I'm either hallucinating or mad.
I mean, what is it you saw?
I don't know. It was too big. I suppose it looked like a bird. It wasn't real. What does it matter?
Nothing conclusive. But perhaps
no
with a little...
No buts. You've made me worse. Doctor, now.
If I could just take a look at that...
You gave me your word.
And I intend to keep it. But would you mind if I had a closer look at the charm in
no!
the meantime?
Mother would never allow it.
I understand.
Wait. There's a note that goes with it. A sort of explaining how it's meant to work. It's superstitious nonsense, of course.
Thank you all the same.
Karnacki?
Miss Allenby?
Are you leaving?
Shall I ring for someone?
Leaving the house, I meant.
Well, I don't feel my business is quite done, but it all rather depends on your mother.
I think perhaps you ought to stay at least a little longer to confer with the doctor and things.
I'll be sure to pass on your recommendations.
Yes. Yes, I would like for you to ring for someone, please. I shouldn't like to be alone in this condition. I might fall over something or walk into a wall. It's still up there, Karnacki. I can't look, but I know. It's just waiting for me to float up to the top, and then it's going to swoop and make me like Uncle Robert.
Nonsense! You've got far more on your side than he did. You've nothing to fret about.
You are the most awful liar.
Am I?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you are. God bless you with an honest face, Karnacki.
A blessing, is it?
If not, I'd find it hard to credit anything you said.
I should hope you don't judge truth based purely on physiognomy.
Well, no. I do have a mind of my own.
Good.
Well, what about this note? Did that shed any light on things?
Only enough to reveal the full depths of the obscurity, I fear. But see what you make of it. Whomsoever of my kin doth find himself in need of more than earthly protection, herewith I enclose that talisman I gained of the Eastern sorcerer, who, being wise, did imbue its rude and humble aspect with magics of exceptional magnitude. Imbued afresh with the faith of the bearer, it is proof against that most evil of things. This I have myself proven. The cry harries my sleep no more.
Hold fast to faith, kin of mine, and endure as I endured. And it is signed only with the letter G.
I confess it sounds like so much hokum to me.
I thought so too.
And yet something changed your mind?
What gives you that impression?
You're wearing the thing now.
So I am. A queer old thing, isn't it? Quite...
Oh, don't touch it!
Dodson?
Sorry, I thought you might be trying to take it off, you know?
Ah, yes, good man, that's right. I studied the note for some time while Dr. Whitten was examining Miss Allenby. I had little else to go on, you understand, besides some rather vague and unsettling notions planted by the images the young lady described, the chasm and so forth. At any rate, I began to make out some sense among all the flim-flam and hocus-pocus, which led me in turn to further questions, such as, but they'll have occurred to you by now.
Well, I suppose the question is, if this charm or talisman is such a potent protection against the curse, then why didn't it protect Robert Allenby?
And let's not forget all the victims before him. As far back as anyone can remember, Mrs. Allenby said, and that question raises another.
I'm afraid I'm not quite... I mean, I can see that things don't quite fit,
if no one alive remembers the charm actually saving anybody, then...
Oh, of course! Why do they keep passing it down? Why does Mrs. Allenby set such store by it?
I asked her the same question. She was in the sitting room, sealing a letter to her husband, the Major, who I gather is abroad on manoeuvres. I asked her, do you expect that feather bracelet to protect your daughter, Mrs. Allenby?
Expect? No, I can but hope.
You can, and I see that you do. But it did nothing for your brother-in-law. I take it he did wear it.
He did, but the Lord can't help those that won't help themselves.
Its protection is conditional, then? Imbued afresh with the faith of the bearer.
No devil could touch Robert while he wore that charm. But they whispered in his ear, they showed him wonders, and they bargained, and they made promises. And before the sun had been down an hour, he'd slipped it off and thrown it nearly into the fireplace. His father saved the charm, but no one could save Robert then, not once he'd taken it off.
And so what? No Allenby in living memory has successfully resisted the temptation to remove the charm?
It's no reflection on Robert, or any of his line, you understand. The curse showed them things no mortal man was ever meant to see.
I didn't mean that. I only meant, why trust your family, your children, to a power no one's ever seen to work?
We had to put our faith in something before you came along, Mr. Carnacki.
I prefer a solution that doesn't depend on faith at all.
And have you found one?
Well, Miss Allenby herself clearly trusts the charm, albeit unconsciously.
The charm won't save her. She's too much of your stripe. A latter-day Pandora. Why do you think you're here?
I see.
So?
I've nothing definite just yet. I'm working on a few theories.
And just how long will these theories take to prove?
I shall be able to narrow down the possibilities considerably once Dr. Whitten finishes his examination.
I can tell you now, he'll find nothing of note.
If that's the case... The most likely explanation seems to be that this cry, which is presumably some sort of psychic vibration of whatever origin, perhaps conducted by some property inherent in Allenby family physiology. I'll need to investigate further to confirm a lot of this, but in any case, the cry seems to have shaken your daughter's psychic body, free of her physical one, and with enough force to propel it across the line of retraction into some far-flung backwater of the outer circle.
You mean her spirit is...
Dissociated from her body, yes, but still connected. Left to its own devices, it ought simply to reel back in. Remember, though, that all this is still only theory, and Dr. Whitten may yet disprove
yes,
it.
Yes, but if you're right, then why did Robert not simply...
If I'm right, the likelihood is that Miss Allenby's psychic body will not be left to its own devices. The outer circle is home to all manner of things that might do harm to a disorientated young interloper. And then there's the matter of the cry's origin. It may be some natural phenomenon, but if it's a creature, if it has consciousness, even only that of a beast, then the effects of its cry may be part of some design, and it may not wish that design to be foiled by the reunion of Miss Allenby's scattered constituents.
The Lord save us.
Ha! Funny you should say that. It actually isn't unheard of for certain powerful entities to intervene when a human spirit is threatened by the outer monstrosities. Not the Lord himself, you understand, but forces in his employ. Who knows? I've been wondering why no Allenby was ever spared that way. At least,
That's one avenue I've been exploring.
I shall be praying to a higher power, Mr. Carnacki, as will Florence's brother and sister and Tilbury and the whole household. I was rather hoping that you might have a more specialist solution. Tell me you have more between your ears than theories.
I really can't say any more until Dr. Whitten's made his diagnosis.
Oh, go then and chivvy him along. The sun's already sinking.
This I did. You know Whitten, I think.
Yes. Hardly the right man to call up for this sort of case, I would have thought.
On the contrary. His was exactly the sort of mind the case demanded.
Hard-headed, I think you called him. Unimaginative.
Unimaginative, precisely. Whitten stands no kind of nonsense, as he sees it. He can be counted on for an absolutely unvarnished medical opinion, which was what both I and Miss Allenby wanted. When he'd finished his examination, I enlisted his help in a few more of my own, and he observed that the girl's eyes reacted unusually when I asked her to focus on the shapes or creatures she saw around her, and especially when I had her inspect her surroundings through my jar of treated spa water. That was enough to convince me that the things she described were genuine signals being received by her mental eye and not spectres conjured up by an addled brain. Whitten suggested no useful remedy, so I sent him away, and a little before dusk I had the library furniture cleared away and set to constructing a barrier about Miss Allenby. Don't wander off, Miss Allenby.
Carnacki?
I'm here.
I can't see you when you stay still.
Here. Sit on this chair. That's solid, isn't it? That's real.
Where are you going?
Not more than a few feet away.
Keep talking, won't you?
Of course.
Carnacki?
Yes, still here, sorry. What explanation did Dr. Whitten give for your symptoms?
He didn't tell you.
He told me you seemed medically sound, but under great stress.
He told me I was hysterical, recommended I sleep it off, the nerve. And he called you a snake oil peddler behind your back.
Did he now?
I mean, I'm not saying I agree with you all of a sudden about unseen worlds and outer monstrosities and such, but at least you don't think I'm making it all up, do you?
No, of course not. I'm quite convinced now that what you are seeing is a genuine image of a genuine place.
I don't much like that idea either.
No? I'd have thought that would be more comforting.
Not remotely. Sorry.
It means you're not poisoned, diseased, mad, or a fantasist.
But it means this horrible, dark place exists. And these horrible, twisted things exist.
We share the cosmos with plenty of unpleasant creatures. At least these ones are a long way away.
Not from me.
We'll have you out of there before long.
They'll still be there. I'll still know.
Yes, you're privy to something few mortals ever get to glimpse. It's quite a privilege.
I'd rather never have seen it.
Now you are beginning to sound hysterical.
For goodness sake, that's just a word men use for behaviour they don't understand.
Wishing ignorance upon oneself? No, you're quite right. I can't understand that.
You would if you could see.
Can you still see the physical plane at all? Can you see me?
You're like a ghost. I think if I woke up now, newborn, seeing this, I'd think you and the library were the figments. It's all happening too quickly.
It's because the sun's going down. You're seeing more clearly with your mental eye now.
Does that mean it's going to get worse?
I'm afraid so.
You've been in these sorts of situations before, haven't you?
Oh, many a time.
Does it make you feel safer, knowing?
Knowing what?
I don't know. Everything. All those theories and explanations.
Well, knowing the cause of a thing is the first step toward being able to combat it, so yes, I suppose it does make me safer.
And what if there is no way of combating it?
I think I'd still rather know what manner of thing did me in.
I'm not sure I would.
Well, in any case, you won't need to worry yourself about any of that tonight. This bit of apparatus has saved my neck more times than I can recount. In a few moments, you will be perfectly safe. That is, you are still wearing the charm, aren't you?
As you can see.
Not feeling like taking it off?
No.
Good.
Ah! What is that? It's bright.
Is it? How queer. To me it seems quite dim. I spent a good few long nights alone in haunted rooms wishing it were brighter, I can tell you. Nothing like a monster you can only half see to give you a bad case of the creep.
That isn't very reassuring.
I'm still alive, aren't I? And in the morning, so will you be.
But what is it?
This, my dear, is my electric pentacle.
And what is it supposed to do?
Well, usually I use it as a defensive barrier against certain manifestations, what you might term hauntings or ghostly apparitions. Tonight, however, we're making use of its spirit-insulating properties. Did you know that when a medium or psychic is surrounded with a current of a certain number of vibrations in a vacuum, he loses his power to interact with spirits? It seems the current cuts off the medium's connection to the immaterial, insulates him, as it were, from any potential spiritual threat. Do you understand just what I mean?
You're saying it's keeping me hidden?
Not only hidden. I first came across the spirit-insulating effect in a paper by one Professor Garder, entitled Experiments with a Medium. It seems Garder used a circular conductor, but after a few experiments of my own, I chose this defensive star or pentacle shape instead, because I have personally no doubt at all that there is some extraordinary virtue in this old, supposedly magic figure. Curious thing for a 20th century man to believe, don't you agree? But I've proved the power of the thing time and again. The current insulates and the pentacle protects. So, as long as you stay within the barrier, you have nothing to fear from the creatures of the chasm, even the one you saw hovering up above. It is still there, I take it.
I daren't look.
It can neither see nor harm you.
You're sure?
This morning you weren't even convinced it was real.
A thing doesn't have to be real to be frightening.
Do you see it?
It's so much bigger than before.
Bigger or closer?
Closer, but still so big.
As I hoped. You're rising toward the mouth of the abyss. Your body is calling your spirit home. Without the pentacle, you see, that creature might have impeded or intercepted it.
Is that what you think happened to the others?
I'm afraid it's likely.
So it's that thing that makes the cry?
Not necessarily, though I agree it's the most likely conclusion. A creature whose cry can jolt the spirit free of the body and which then lies in wait to snare the spirit as it journeys home. It's quite
That's
monstrous.
Just awful.
Yes, but that won't happen to you. You'll slip right past it. Trust me.
What's happening? Karnacki?
I don't know. The candles, something's attacking the barrier.
This is real, isn't it?
Yes. That is, something. I mean, the phenomenon is starting to affect the physical realm, which shouldn't
thing,
be.
The bird, it's after me.
But it shouldn't be able to sense you.
Then it's angry that it's lost me all of a sudden.
Miss Allenby, listen to me. Florence, listen. If the barrier breaks, you
if
must concentrate
breaks,
all of your
you
willpower.
You said it was safe. You said it always saved your neck.
I never said always. There is no certainty in any defense, and it looks like we're about to discover the limits of this one. If that happens, you must not remove the charm. Do you understand?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to leave you solely responsible for saving yourself. There might be something else I can... I'll try to do something, but you must act as if it's all up to you. Do you understand?
Diving. It's diving! Hide me! Hide me!
I don't know how!
Do something!
Just let me think. The body inside the barrier, the spirit outside, the connection between them. A passageway into the defense!
I can't breathe. God save me, I can't breathe!
Tell me what's happening.
It's got me!
But you're still cogent. That's good. That's good.
I'm wrapped in its wings. It's too dark. It's too huge. The feathers, I can't breathe!
It's all right. You'll be all right. The defense is holding. You can still escape.
Searching the beak of the claw. Karnacki, where are you? What does it want? What do I do? Karnacki!
I don't know.
Then what good are you?
Stop! You mustn't cross the barrier!
It sees me! It sees me!
The charm! Hold fast! Just don't take off the charm! Hold fast the charm! Miss Allenby? Florence? She was within my reach, yes. Physically. But I couldn't know what might still be abroad in that room. She'd been taken so swiftly. I crouched there, at the edge of the circle, with a perfectly horrible pringling sensation racing up and down my arms and across my scalp, trying desperately to screw up some courage, to move forward, to brave the danger and go to her aid, but I was stiff, simply rigid with terror. I couldn't coax myself to venture even one small finger outside the defence. I wonder, have you ever felt anything like it? Could you even imagine the feeling? A dread that manacles your very bones, your very thoughts. And the longer it holds you, the stronger its hold becomes. I saw that she was breathing, and the need for action seemed immediately less urgent. And as it were, the shackles cinched tighter still. I couldn't reach the bell, and I reasoned that to shout for help would be to expose others to the same horror, perhaps to seal another's fate, as I seemed to have sealed hers. And so I simply watched over her till daylight, fooling myself that I was doing a worthy duty.
She turned every head when she made her debut, you know. Her independence. And now Tilbury is sitting by her bedside, sponging drool off her chin. My daughter, Carnacki. My Florence. When I left the room, she was giggling to herself. Giggling, Carnacki. Like a mad woman in some novel.
It was my fault.
I know.
It all went so wrong, so fast. I could hardly think. It never even occurred to me that she might leave the circle.
Robert's father bound him to a chair to stop him removing the charm. He broke four of his fingers freeing himself. Robert's aunt, Elsbeth, the firstborn of her generation, eluded her parents, her grandfather, the colonel, and her nanny the night she succumbed. They didn't find her till morning, slumped in a cellar they didn't even know they had. I told you Florence would be tempted, and I told you she couldn't resist it herself. You told me your rituals and silly contraptions were the solution we'd been missing. I put my faith in you.
I said I couldn't guarantee success.
You didn't say you would hasten failure. You did a good job, sounding like you knew what you were doing, Mr. Carnacki. But I see now that was nothing but hot air.
Actually...
What is it?
I don't think history is quite repeating itself line for line this time. My involvement does seem to have changed one thing.
My daughter has lost her mind, Mr. Carnacki. Whatever you think you've achieved is immaterial.
I've heard the cry.
You can't have.
So there's no precedent for an outsider?
None. The Herald's cry is a family curse. You are not family.
Nevertheless...
Nevertheless what? If you're looking for sympathy, you've got some
nerve... No, it's not that, of course. No, I don't know yet what it means, but it must mean something. If this has changed, then maybe not Miss Allenby's, but I don't know. Perhaps the next victim's fate might be changed as well.
If you really have heard the cry, the next victim will be you.
That had occurred to me. I wonder if I might borrow the charm just until tomorrow morning?
Do as you like with it. You've made sure my Florence is no longer in need of it. Though I can't imagine it'll do you much good. You've less faith even than she had.
I believe in powers beyond the physical realm. I believe in abnatural dangers and protections.
You believe nothing. With you, everything must be proven or disproven. You do not allow for things to simply be so. I hope your philosophy brings you solace when your mind flees your body. I shall be with what's left of my daughter. Good day to you, Mr. Carnacki.
And so, here we are.
What do you mean?
That's the whole tale up till now.
Well, but you left the Allenbys first thing this morning. You must have done something since.
Nothing of consequence. I ran a few experiments on the charm, but only really so I wouldn't have to sit still and think about what happened.
What sort of experiments? Did you discover anything?
Oh, everything I could think of that wouldn't destroy it. I made a spiritual focus about it with my spectrum circles. I subjected it to various sonic and electromagnetic vibrations. I put it under a microscope, x-rayed it, heated it, cooled it.
And?
It's a good deal more than just feathers and twine. Further than that, I couldn't tell you. Remember, I heard the cry. It's hard to take accurate readings when things keep drifting in front of the instruments.
You seem to be coping remarkably well.
Don't lie to me, Dodson. I know when I'm in a funk.
All right. But there's no need to talk yourself further into it.
At any rate, by evening I still wasn't getting anywhere with my only clue. So I realised it. I'd simply have to brazen it out, in the electric pentacle, just like Miss Allenby.
You ought to have rung me up earlier.
Yes, most likely.
You can see it now, I suppose, that place.
Vividly.
And the creature?
Yes, the scavenger is circling. It scents weakness. Doesn't seem as impatient as last night, but then it must be used to going years between meals.
Perhaps if it's not hungry, it'll let you drift on by.
Unlikely. I can only think of one plausible reason for the thing to suddenly change its Allenby-only diet. I enraged it by trying to deny it Miss Allenby, and perhaps consciously, or perhaps on some vicious impulse, it's decided that I shall suffer for it.
Horrible.
For me, if it succeeds, undoubtedly. But in the scheme of things, it's no more horrible than the dog who bites the man who taunts it by taking away its dinner, if I may put it like that.
An angry dog would just nip you and have done with it. There'd be none of this awful waiting, thinking about what's coming. It doesn't seem like an animal instinct to me, Carnacki. It feels like malevolence.
Oh, the wait isn't so bad. How many men ever get to observe such a remote realm as I'm now seeing? And thanks to you, I can study it almost at my leisure. No need to worry about my physical body misbehaving in the meantime. I've enough observations to found a whole monograph on.
If you make it through the night with your wits intact.
Dodson, you aren't helping.
Good grief, I'm sorry, I didn't... But I can't help getting indignant on your behalf. It's all so damned arbitrary. Why the Allenbys? Why you? Animal instinct? Some silly quirk of personal electric tensions? Such nonsense cannot have such real, horrible effects on people. I quite refuse to credit it. Perhaps all that's left is to finish that whiskey. What did I do with it?
Dodson, what was that you just said?
Oh, I was just going to fix us something more to drink, that's all.
No, before that. What was it you said? Say it again, will you?
Say what again? When?
Such nonsense cannot really affect people, or some such, and I quite refuse to credit it.
I know, defeatist of me. Sorry. Forget I said it.
Forget indeed. Dodson, you are a marvel. I do believe you have it in you to save my skin tonight.
Surely not. I mean, if I can, of course, but how so?
Arkwright, Jessop, Taylor, and Dodson, my friends, my sounding board, my council of war. Why you, do you think, Dodson? Why you tonight and not any of the others?
I'm sure I don't know.
I took a gamble on your unique insight, a gamble that appears to have paid off.
Carnacki, what on earth are you getting at?
Dodson, my friend, you are unique among our little cabal in that you've never quite shaken the suspicion that I'm a complete fraud.
What? Now, hang on, that just isn't
true. No, listen, this is important.
I don't mean it when I call you that, it's just a joke.
Then you are a fool.
I beg your pardon?
Arkwright heard the unknown last line of the Sarmar ritual uttered by the abhuman priests in Incantation of Rai. Jessop survived that ordeal aboard the Mort Zestus. Even young Taylor has a measure of innate psychic sight. When we all sit round the fire and I spin you chaps some yarn about some unusual occurrence, they simply listen, because their own experiences tell them that such things are not impossible. But you, Dodson, your senses, your experiences, your existence has been entirely mundane.
As if Arkwright didn't remind me enough of that.
I'm not trying to slight you, you dunderhead. I'm saying your judgment is unsullied. There is a solution to this horrid business, and I can't see it, because I'm too used to accepting impossible things as fact. But you can. You can see the way out. What have I missed, Dodson? What doesn't add up?
I don't know. I don't know, all right. I just don't know.
Think. You do know. Just think.
Whatever happened to keeping a perfectly open mind?
What's that to do with anything?
You have told us 1,001 times never to dismiss a thing out of hand just for seeming impossible. Are you saying you expect me to ignore that?
I'm saying it's likely more things seem impossible to you than seem impossible to me, or Arkwright, or the others. I'm saying that you must steel yourself consciously not to scoff at things that we simply accept. I'm saying you notice more.
But I've always...
Did you want them to be true?
What?
All those yarns I spun you all by the fire. Hauntings and monsters and curses and possession and death. Did you want to believe that they were true?
I always believed that you were honest. Didn't I say so?
That's not what I asked.
Did I want such ghastly things to be real, you mean? Did I personally wish for young Aster to be devoured by the Black Veil, or poor Baines to be dragged to hell by the Hog? What kind of man do you think I am?
A loyal one, but a skeptic at heart.
Perhaps you're right.
I'd stake my life on it.
What was that?
Never mind that. Concentrate. What doesn't add up?
I don't know.
The slightest thing. Anything that gave you pause.
Well,
yes.
How do you explain the creature, the bird I mean, still being able to detect Miss Allenby despite the electric pentacle? That shouldn't have been possible.
Quite right. Quite right. Perhaps it's like hiding under a sheet in an empty room. One is concealed, but the hiding place is obvious.
Are you quite sure nothing's...
Let me worry about the apparatus. Keep going.
Well, I still don't understand how this so-called family curse comes to affect you at all.
Yes. Good. That's the part that seems strangest to me, too. I suspect if we can discover why the behaviour of the phenomenon has changed now, after generations of consistency, we shall find the key to the whole business.
Then there's the matter of the charm.
No, Dodson. I think we found the right line of inquiry if we can just focus.
It's just not like you, that's all.
What's not?
Do you trust it to protect you? Suppose you must. We've established that the pentacle can't hide you.
Hang on, slow down. Why wouldn't I trust the charm?
Well, let's see. Provenance unknown, hasn't worked in living memory, testing inconclusive. Why would you trust it?
It would have saved Miss Allenby if she'd kept her head and kept it on.
Funny how everyone seemed to believe that. You, Miss Allenby, skeptics both, supposedly. If keeping it on's going to save you, then why are we even having this conversation? Why didn't you simply ask me to, I don't know, tie you up and sit on you until morning? May I see the note?
Pardon me?
The note that came with the charm. It's in your pocket there. May I see it?
Whatever for?
Just indulge me.
If you insist.
What language is this supposed to be?
English.
Don't be absurd.
Whomsoever of my kin doth find himself in
That's
need of more than
That's not what it says, Carnacki.
Of course it is. Read it.
I can't. What is this script? Arabic? Hieroglyph?
Are you quite in control of your senses?
Are you? Give me the charm.
What?
The charm and the note are handed down together, you said.
What of it?
Hiding under a sheet in an empty room and holding up a lantern.
You're supposed to make sure I keep it
Give it to me. Give it to me, Carnacki.
It's got to you. You're mad.
What happened to the power of my mundane existence?
Confound it, Dodson! What's got into you?
Like you! Nothing left but ashes. Has that done it?
I can't hear it anymore.
Hear what?
The Herald. I don't see it overhead either.
Then I was right. The curse has nothing to do with the Allenby family. It was something in the charm.
What one might term a haunted or cursed artifact, masquerading as a hereditary spiritual entanglement or family curse. Of course the victims tore the thing off the moment they realised it was guiding the Herald toward them, but the realisation always came too late. And if the charm were of the Herald's own being, as it were, a part of the creature itself, then of course it would remain uninsulated by the electric pentacle.
You're yourself once again, I see.
Myself, yes. I think so, but not yet whole.
You see the chasm still?
Yes. Though as long as the pentacle holds, without the charm to give me away, I should knit back together quite naturally. I may yet write that monograph!
What in heaven's name
is
that?
Dodson, take my gun! Where are you, Dodson?
Why? What for? What's happening?
I can't see. I may miss. I may hit you.
I heard it, Carnacki. Is it coming for me now, too?
No. Perhaps. I doubt it can discriminate. Take my gun.
What for?
It's coming here, Dodson. It's lost track of me in the abyss, so it means to manifest itself on the physical plane. Death is preferable to whatever it has in mind. Where are you?
I won't do it.
You must. I'm not afraid. I've seen beyond the veil. There's nothing there.
I refuse.
Dodson?
Is this it?
The centre, Dodson. Back to back now. We have to ride it out.
Did you see? Ghostly faces in the dark, watching.
I saw. I've said before there are entities that sometimes intervene when a human spirit is threatened by the outer monstrosities. Of course, it doesn't do to count on these things, but...
Karnacki!
I suppose the whole business with stranding spirits in the outer circle was a way to circumvent the notice of those powers.
Tom!
William?
Must you?
Must I what?
We're alive, aren't we? Can you just leave it at that this once?
Perhaps I'd better.
You're working it out in your head, I can tell.
I'll need an explanation ready for Arkwright. You know what he's like.
The first time I got lost, when I was just a little girl, we were by the sea. I was exploring the rock pools and I must have gotten carried away. When I looked back, it was dark and I couldn't see Mother. The tide was in and nothing around me looked familiar anymore. I thought I might be out there among the rocks all night, alone. It still makes my heart jump just thinking about it.
I know the feeling.
Well, it's like that. Only more. Imagine not being able to see home even as a distant star.
I doubt I can even begin to.
Are you envious? Where did it all start?
We'll never know.
But you have a theory. You can't not have theories about things.
I don't know. Perhaps some ancestor of yours got on the wrong side of some shaman or mystic with knowledge of the unseen world.
Someone like you.
Or perhaps it was meant for someone else entirely, and your ancestor just happened to fall afoul of it. The one responsible may not have foreseen how it would come to be passed down through the generations. Though if that part was deliberate...
You are envious. I can tell. Is that why you lured it back?
That is not what I was trying to do.
Still, I know where home is now. Everything looks familiar again. I've seen such horrors and such wonders. Would you like to hear about them before I go? Will you visit once in a while?
I'm sorry you went through what you did. I ought to have seen what was happening.
Don't feel bad, old chap. You had a far worse night than I.
Sorry, Dodson. I was miles and miles away.
You quite all right?
I'm alive, aren't I?
And in one piece again.
Just about.
Thank you.
Thank me? Why?
It's thanks to your precautions that I'm safe.
Suppose you're right. That's something, at least.
Audience with the Ghost Finder by M.J. Starling, starring Alexander Pankhurst as Karnacki, the Ghost Finder. Ellie Pitkin played Mrs. Judith Allenby, Caridwen Smith was Miss Florence Allenby, and Richard Stratton was Dodgson. Sound design and editing was by Andrew Crane, using original sound design by David Turnbull. The play was directed by Ellie Pitkin and produced by Helen Johnson, with special thanks to Vicky Weston and Aisha Chapman.
You have just been listening to Audience with the Ghost Finder, written by MJ Starling. And that brings us to the end of another edition of the Blackshore Arts Hour. Alice in Wonderland is the next production that is coming up for Blackshore. We have amazingly secured a transfer to the Streatham Festival on the 4th and 5th of July. All the ticket details and how to buy tickets are up at blackshoreonline.com, so head there and grab yourself a ticket. And we will be seeing you in a fortnight for another edition of the Blackshore Arts Hour.